Colleagues, good morning. Welcome to all of you joining us today. First, let me recognize members of the senior executive team, the DVCs, DVC Loretta Ferris, DVC Lange, DVC Sue Harrison, as well as the COO, the registrar, the deans, executive directors, all members of the leadership Lekgotla, as well as everyone who's in the hall today. There are three reasons why we convene this special staff assembly today. And the first reason is to feel the moment together. It is an unprecedented time in the world. And all of us, whether you're an academic, a past staff member, we are all doing our best to cope with the challenges that this moment brings. And we wanted to all come together as a community of staff members at UCT to feel the moment together. The second reason is to say thank you to all of you for the work that you've been doing since the lockdown. You, colleagues, have kept UCT going. The third reason is to share with you how we, as the UCT community, have responded to the pandemic and also our plans for a phased return to our campus. I will give a broad overview, and in time, I will introduce the COO to talk about staffing matters and a phased return of staff to campus. I will then introduce DVC Lange to talk about teaching and learning matters as they pertain to undergraduate students. I will introduce Professor Loretta Ferris, who will then talk about how we're managing the phased return of students. And then I will invite Professor Sue Harrison to talk about research and postgraduate studies. And then we'll end with the COO before we'll end with the registrar before we take questions at the end. And thank you all of you for the questions that you have sent. We've noticed them, and many of them we will respond as we make our inputs. I know each of you is at this moment looking at your computer or phone screen, or perhaps you may be feeling very alone during this lockdown. If there is one message I want you to take away from this online forum, is this: we are in this together. All of us are in this together. No matter where you are physically, you are an important part of the UCT community. Each of you has contributed in your own way to keep the academic project alive and the institution operational, even during this difficult time. And so on behalf of the UCT leadership, thank you for the way you have adapted to working from home, despite its challenges. Many of you are going the extra mile to ensure that we continue our programs of teaching and learning and research. You, colleagues, are keeping UCT on track. Although we're working remotely, we are still a community. And together, we share a responsibility for the future of our country and our university. We are facing a difficult time. We have had to make difficult financial decisions that we did not expect so that we can complete the academic year. And we will continue to make these difficult financial decisions as we get into the future, starting with our considerations for our budget 2021. Perhaps whilst I'm here, I should pause. I know that many of you are worried, thinking, are we going to face another time of austerity as we did in the past few years? Well, we are not talking about that, what we did in 2016, 2017. It was important then. We're not implementing austerity measures that we implemented before. The government's decision to go into lockdown was necessary for all of us. But you and I know that it is taking its toll, not only on the economy, but also on the mental health and well-being of many of us, and that the ramifications of this pandemic and our response will be felt for many years. Today, I want to make it clear to you that your role in UCT remains important. We are looking at ways to help you maintain a balance between work and home life, to provide support for your mental and physical health and that of your loved ones. We are working to maintain UCT status as an employer of choice. We have made a decision as the leadership to protect jobs across the institution, particularly jobs of our most vulnerable workers, and to plan in a wise and health-conscious way how we can begin a phased return to campus when it is safe to do so. We will not make any decision that will put your health in jeopardy. Higher education has an important part to play in rebuilding our country. The commitment you bring to UCT is more important now than ever before. We each need to make careful decisions about how we use our resources of the university, because they are limited and we want them to carry us for much longer. This is an opportunity to bring excellence to our work in new ways, from how we clean and maintain our facilities, to how we continue the academic year, to how we do the important admin tasks that keep the university operating efficiently, to how we keep our research activity and productivity alive. Together, we can help each other to save costs as we continue to build excellence into the institution. We are in this challenge together, and we can take collective responsibility, not only in how we manage dealing with the pandemic, but also in how we manage our limited resources. And I'm confident that if we do that, we will succeed. The COVID-19 pandemic has brought into sharp focus our rapidly changing world. It has been coming for some time. I remember that back in July 2016, just after joining UCT SDVC Research and Internationalization, I spoke at the launch of UCT's annual research report. I argued that in the coming decades, we'll face a world of uncertainty as well as a rapid and profound change. 4 years later, here we are with COVID-19, and more challenges lie ahead, with economic problems, climate change, poverty and inequality, as well as the ethics of machine learning as we settle into the fourth industrial revolution, just to name a few. These challenges will test our solidarity and commitment, but together we can overcome each one of them. When I became Vice Chancellor in 2018, I argued that for us as UCT to cope with this uncertainty or this uncertain future, we would need three things: an unrelenting commitment to excellence, an exceptional focus on transformation, and the courage to do things differently to keep UCT sustainable. And here's the thing: doing things differently is hard, is uncomfortable, because we're not used to it and it can be threatening. I argued on that occasion that we must forever bury the notion that the global is somehow not African. The problems of Africa are the problems of the world, and the problems of the world are the problems of Africa. Gone are the days when people thought infectious diseases are an African problem. COVID-19 has wreaked havoc everywhere. So we are in this together, not just as UCT, but as a nation and as a planet. Higher education around the world is facing the same set of uncertainties that we are facing at UCT. And we continue to engage with higher education institutions here in South Africa, in the continent, and elsewhere in the world, and leading institutions in the world that we collaborate with are struggling with the same issues. At UCT, along with other institutions, we are aware that a return to a feeling of this is normal will take time, if at all. Of course, what we think as normal will probably never return completely. So while there is a lot of talk about recovery, my view is that perhaps what will be needed for us to do is not so much recovery, but maybe adaptation. This is a challenge and an opportunity we share with our students, because higher education cannot be about staff on one side and students on the other. The university is a community that includes all of us, students, academics, researchers, postgrads, and past staff, as well as many stakeholders outside the campus who support and make our work meaningful. This is an opportunity for all of us to rethink and reimagine how we teach and learn, how we do research, and how we apply what we learn, recognizing that our students will be working with us to build a new post-COVID world. To complete the academic year at UCT, we are thinking of all of our students, including those whose environments may not be conducive for learning, those living in poverty and those living with different kinds of disabilities. We are working together to meet the challenge, and believe me, it is not easy at all. It is thanks to the help of faculties and past staff, including many different departments, that we have been able to ease the situation for most of our students. Nearly 21,000 undergraduates and postgraduate students completed our student access survey to determine the resources they have available for remote learning. We have used this information to see how we can provide help to students who may need it. We are learning a lot through this process of emergency remote learning and teaching, and these lessons should help all of us in term three and into the future. We are monitoring student participation on VOLA to identify those who might need extra help and to work with faculties to assist those students. We have bought laptops and arranged to deliver them on loan to needy students, and we are looking at ways to assist students who do not have online access by sending them printed materials and flash drives. Our aim is to ensure that as many students as possible can continue learning while they are off campus, using whatever material we can make available to them. We have assembled several working groups, and we are using the COVID-19 UCT Emergency Fund to support this project. We are providing prepaid data to students, and we have established agreements with all four major cell phone operators to provide access at no charge to UCT websites that are key for online learning. This new way of teaching and learning is stressful for all of us, but especially for students who may feel isolated from their lecturers and tutors and from the camaraderie of fellow students. They may not have home situations where they can study effectively. Staff are also stressed, but at least we are in contact with colleagues who understand our situation. Students, on the other hand, may misunderstand the communications they receive from stressed faculty staff members. So how we communicate with them outside of the coursework becomes as important as how we teach them. Many of you have already gone beyond the extra mile. I need to ask you to continue to extend support to our students by listening to their worries and being flexible about deadlines. Remember, their success is your success, and it's UCT's success as an institution. Many students I speak to see UCT as a peaceful physical space where they can focus on their studies. It is a space they don't necessarily have at home. So we have also created a plan to assist vulnerable students once the campus can reopen. We plan to assist them with blended learning, combining online learning with face-to-face learning and tutorials. And we will only see the success of that when campus reopen. Of course, we're working on these difficult issues and definitions of what vulnerability is. I want to commend colleagues in the Center for Innovation and Learning and Innovation in Learning and Technology in the Center for Higher Education and Development. They have made it possible to develop online materials in a very short time. SILTS is continuing its webinar series to help teaching staff. And I want to say a heartfelt thanks to all of you, colleagues in SILTS, as well as other colleagues in CHAD. Even before lockdown, students were interacting with lecturers and tutors online and accessing course materials. We've been building up a bank of recorded lectures since 2018. I hope we can learn to use online teaching as a way to free teaching staff to engage more meaningfully with students on a personal level, because your influence as role models remains important as ever. Only skeleton staff remains on campus, such as our security staff and also those who are doing research on COVID-19. However, all vital support departments are fully operational as staff are working from home. In fact, I have noticed that many of you, especially my colleagues in the executive management and leadership, Lekgotla, are at their computers for longer hours, and you are holding many online meetings in addition to your responsibilities at home. We appreciate the work that you're doing to make sure that the university operates as seamlessly as possible. We anticipate that campus will be quiet for some time, even with the staggered return to the South African economy. The most important factor is the health and safety of staff and students. Meanwhile, under the direction of the COO, Dr. Reno Mora, we have identified ways to help colleagues work at home with minimal disruption, including an interim remote connectivity policy to reimburse staff for their data, for the data that you use in your work for the university. This needs to be done through your line managers if you haven't done it yet. UCT Human Resource Department has given special attention to staffing related matters during lockdown, including staffing recruitment, selection, and contracts, as well as management of deliverables and how to submit claims under the COVID-19 Temporary Employee Employer Relief Scheme. Of course, we would much rather be together, and social distancing can be demanding. We have taken special steps to ensure that everyone has access to support for mental health and mental well-being. Please don't hesitate to ask for help if you need it. We have advice online for how to survive working at home and a dedicated webpage to inform staff and students about our mental health hotlines, as well as information about our medical aid providers. We also encourage you to maintain a sense of community and camaraderie within your teams and across the university. Like you, I would much rather sit with my colleagues around a conference table, but like you, I'm finding ways to stay in touch with people online. Whilst you are working at home, our researchers are too. UCT researchers and postgraduate students remain as active as possible working remotely. Our researchers have been actively engaged with the National Department of Health, the National Institute of Communicable Diseases, as well as the presidency to support the government in response to COVID-19. And these efforts include developing vaccine candidates, epidemiology studies, clinical research, and developing low-cost personal protective equipment. Experts across the university, as well as students, have been advising the government and at provincial and national level, as well as volunteering. Their work includes reaching out to the townships and working in local hospitals and clinics. Many of you would like to know when you can come back to office. I've seen many questions asking about that. We will not rush to bring people onto campus unless the government directs us to do so and unless we know that it is safe. When we do return, it will probably be in phases, and we will make sure that there are mechanisms in place to ensure that you're safe. We are addressing issues of financing. We have had questions about refunding students, but there is too much uncertainty about how the academic year will proceed and when students may come back to campus. Meanwhile, students still need to be, in the meantime, tuition fees still need to be paid because teaching is continuing. We now plan to teach remotely for the second and third terms. The academic year is likely to extend well into December and continue into February. Our current planning includes the possibility of pushing the start of the next academic year to March 2021. This plan is subject to change. However, depending on government's response to COVID-19, our primary focus is to ensure that every student can complete the academic year successfully. In the meantime, the cost of the lockdown, including financial aid and items such as data and laptops for needy students, are mounting. As you may be aware, I have pledged 20% of my salary for 3 months to the UCT COVID-19 Emergency Fund. This is in addition to the 10% of my salary that I already contribute to a UCT scholarship fund for women postgraduate students. In March, the beginning of the lockdown, the Chancellor, Dr. Precious Moloi-Motsepe, announced a donation of 5 million rand by the WhatsApp Foundation to UCT. And I know many of you colleagues, including some members of my colleagues in the executive management, have also pledged their salaries and made substantial donations to the UCT COVID Emergency Fund or to some of our entities such as the Baxter Theatre or Shoko that are struggling to survive. I invite all of you to pledge to the UCT COVID Emergency Fund if you would like to. Any amount is welcome, no matter how big or small. No amount is small in this kind of context. Through our work, through your hard work, a new and stronger UCT is emerging out of this crisis. And I thank you for your commitment. As a community, we are demonstrating excellence, resilience, and innovation. Let me start by perhaps restating some of the things that I said that I think got lost, perhaps. The situation as it is that we have made a decision to preserve jobs. That's jobs of people who are already employed by UCT. People who are already employed by UCT, the jobs are preserved. We are not even talking about reduction of salaries. So that question has been answered. We're not in the space of talking about reduction of salaries. We're not in the space of laying off staff or of cutting jobs. So we want you to take that out of your mind because that's not something that we're planning to do. And that's what we've been talking about when we're referring to employer of choice. We know that that might be, it's a challenge. I mean, the finances are a challenge for us. And that's why we're talking about the need to make difficult decisions as we move forward. Because if we're going to preserve jobs and make sure that there are no salary cuts, we've got to make sacrifice somewhere. And we are working on that. In time, we will communicate with you in departments and faculties what that looks like. There's one question that keeps coming. I didn't say anything about infections within UCT. You know that from our communiques, we had announced that there's 8 people who were infected. All of them have recovered, and this is where the situation is at the moment. We continue to monitor and we'll continue to interact with the community as time goes on. A lot of the work that we do continues. We will continue with the ad hominem promotions. We will continue with the development dialogues. What we are talking about, I mean, development dialogues usually come with the reward, and we are in conversation about those rewards. We're still balancing the books, seeing what we mean. In our view, it is important to recognize people and reward people for excellent performance. So it is not something that we think we're just going to throw away, but we're engaging strongly in terms of the choices that we have to make. So that's on our radar screen, and the ad hominems will continue proceed as per normal this year. Several people are concerned about ad hominem promotions, and the concern comes from the idea that, well, staff had to do other things. We haven't completed the year as normal. And I want to say that we are aware of that, and we factor into that the idea that people had to do unplanned work, getting emergency remote learning on track. The good thing about ad hominem promotions is that there is also input from you in your statements and so on. So we will get a sense of what that includes. So this, I have to really say, I feel grateful to be working with human beings who are caring, who are empathetic, and they recognize all the complexities that our staff have to deal with. It's been very useful because we can take a human approach to dealing with this very difficult situation that we are facing right now. Before I make my closing remarks, there's questions also that talk about, you know, will we be forced to come to work? When will that happen? Why can't just we work from home? And let me just say, you know, what's happened with this pandemic is that it has made visible some of the things that we can do differently. And that's my view as a VC. It has made visible how productive we can still be in certain parts of the university without being in the office. But it has also made visible the work that's difficult to do from home. It has made visible, from where I'm sitting, also things that should be instances or situations or spaces where what we do should be digitalized, and it is not. It's all on paper and it's in offices, and so it becomes difficult to do. And so when I say we will emerge out of this stronger and we will thrive through this crisis, I mean, in the midst of that, we will start doing some of the things differently. And whether it's starting to digitize differently, digitize our work, but it's also about thinking about, I think the beyond COVID, as we manage this coming back, we're going to say, is it necessary that everyone comes back to work? And let me tell you what's going to make that an imperative is that we're going to have to observe COVID rules. So what does physical distancing mean in a space? How should we organize? So there may even be instances where we ask some people to work from home, you know, because we need to observe particular ways of existing to make sure that we make the space safer for everyone. So I just want you to know that we this time is going to shake how we think, how we do our work, and it's also showing us which spaces are productive even from working from home and which ones are not, and how can we move on from here. I want to close this meeting perhaps by acknowledging the assistance and the advice that we get from our colleagues in the Faculty of Health Sciences, Professor Ntobeko Tusi from the Department of Medicine, Associate Professor Ruzane Moloiwa from the Faculty of Health Sciences Dean's Office, as well as Emeritus Associate Professor David Kutsier, who's come from a public health perspective. All the deans, executive directors, working with you is a pleasure. Not only do you come in and wait for us to give you instructions, you contribute, you shape our thinking. And the experts, the three professors, Ntusi, Muloiwa, and Kutsia, thank you for your generous sharing with us that has helped us make the difficult decisions throughout the time. There's more difficult decisions to be made, and we will continue calling on you. And thank you also to the DVCs, the COO, the registrar, who carried the burden together with me of leading this university, for being generous as I lead as Vice Chancellor and work with me, sometimes on my crazy and weird ideas, sometimes on my crazy and weird ways of working. I appreciate your patience. Thank you to all members of the Leadership Lekgotla for all you do in your spaces. Colleagues in the room who came to this meeting, more than 2,000 of you, thank you for all you do. Some of you have asked in your questions, how can you help? And here are three things from where I'm sitting that I want you to help with. First is care. I want you to care for yourself, care for your loved ones, but I also want to ask you to care for each other, and especially people who are leading this university. It's very hard to be in a leadership position, just generally. It's much harder during a crisis that you can't solve tomorrow. It's not as if you can go and negotiate with so-and-so, and maybe you can reach an agreement and sign an agreement and move forward. It's not easy at all. So I want to ask you to show some care to your heads of departments, to the directors, to people who lead you, the DVCs, because I can tell you how many times you lie awake at night, you just can't sleep because you're trying to find a better way of doing something. So care is the first request from you. The second one, of course, care includes also caring for your students, but the second one is, if you can, contribute to the COVID, the UCT COVID Emergency Fund. Anyone can contribute. My philosophy about giving is that we do not give because we have. We give because we recognize the need. So when I encourage you to give to the COVID Emergency Fund, it's not because I'm assuming that you have a lot of money going around. I know you don't. And I know that all of us, when you earn a salary, you already have commitments. So it's not going to be easy. And I'm requesting that if you can give, whether it's the 30 rands to the Baxter Theatre per month, whether it's 100 rands to the COVID Emergency Fund every month, every little counts. If all of us can do that, it will help keep the university going. The third request of how you can help is share your wisdom. Share your wisdom with us. I've already indicated how difficult it is to lead. You know, we at UCT are very lucky because we lead really, really smart people. And some of you may be having brilliant ideas on how things can be done. And if you have wisdom, if you have an innovation that you want to share with us, as VC, I would like to hear that innovation. We get a lot of emails from people outside who want to share their innovation, but it's not about the innovation. Most of them want to do this for their money, for their business. What I'm asking us as a community is to share our ideas for the good of our university, for the future of our university and our country. So if you have any, don't hesitate to drop us a line so that we can benefit from having your wisdom. Finally, we would like to hear from each one of you about your lockdown experience. I'm finding it very stressful. So every week I try to do something, at least one fun thing with family, whether it's a crazy video that some of you might have seen, or it's cooking, or it's jumping off the tree. I just try to do that. And we are inviting you to share what you do, whether in writing, whether poetry, whether video or whatever. The UCT website now has a page for UCT lockdown letters, where you can share your stories, your photos, your videos, and how you're conquering the challenge we are all facing. You can read UCT update emails or listen to each executive communication as a soundbite online. And you're welcome to download these communications and share with your team on WhatsApp groups. The recording of this forum will also be available online soon. So thank you very much to all of you for joining us today, for sitting through this 2 hours. We really appreciate it. But more than that, we appreciate your work and your being community with us. Thank you very much.